Welcome to the A-Dub Club, a podcast about sci-fi, fantasy, technology, pop culture, the internet, and general nerdery. There are three things that are important to know. One, we occasionally use swear words, but try to stay in the range of PG-13, or at least the kind of R that cool parents are fine with. Two, we may talk spoilers. In this particular episode, we primarily discuss a bit of 1984, Brave New World, and the Player of Games, as well as around the concept of dystopias, data regulation, and Big Brother. So, be warned. And finally, three, most importantly, the recent Broadway production of 1984 was so intense that audience members vomited and fainted, and actress Olivia Wilde broke her tailbone during the previews. With that out of the way, welcome to the clubhouse. We have snacks. Welcome to the A-Dub Club. I'm Andrew Whipple.
I'm Alex Wade.
And this week, we are back after like 2 months of not doing a podcast.
Woo! First Good. Podcast 2019.
Good. Second, technically, because it took me like 3 weeks to edit the last one. So I only really podcast, felt, like, halfway through January. But yeah, we're back. How has 2019 been treating you so far, Alex Lane?
It's been amazing. Oh my God. Things have been popping off left and right. Just got finished with a film shoot yesterday and a theater show.
Whoa, that's really exciting. I didn't know about the film shoot. I did know about the theater one because, spoiler alert, we talked for like 45 minutes before we finished recording. How did the film shoot go?
It was painful because they kind of randomly last minute told me, hey, you have the part. I was like, I never auditioned for it, but okay. And I sat around for 4 hours and acted for 20 minutes.
Look at you. Such a big shot. You don't even need to audition anymore.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Anyway, today's question that we're going to talk about on this here podcast, the A-Dub Club, is do you want Big Brother to happen?
Yes.
Cool.
End of podcast.
Play the theme song. We're out. We're done. Before we dive more deeply into what the fuck you mean by yes and why you say yes, because I think I'm starting to lean more towards no, but maybe this is one of those exciting ones where you convince me by the time the podcast is over to come over to your position or vice versa. I don't know if there have been too many of that ones where I've convinced you the other way. I guess the big meta narrative of I've convinced you to like pay more attention to horror and maybe be mildly interested in it. But anyway, maybe before we start diving into like why you think, yes, Big Brother is a good thing. Maybe we should do a little bit of a crash course, a bit of a refresher in, hey, what is Big Brother? Is Big Brother a Dutch reality TV show started in 1999?
Yes.
Yes, it is. I know that because I just read an article about it today. But what is it more broadly in the world of pop culture when we think about when we think about stuff?
I'll start off with Big Brother is kind of just the concept of there is a entity, usually the government, sometimes a corporation, at least within fiction, that is kind of watching your every move, or is kind of tailoring a lot of things in your life to you. In a sense, in for the sake usually of security, or often totalitarian rule.
Am I correct that the term Big Brother like comes specifically from 1984?
I'm not sure, but I would assume that is the case.
Have you ever read 1984?
Yes, I have. Have you?
Okay. No, I have not.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. No, I was in the Handmaid's Tale group in our Utopias and Dystopias class. Okay. Topes and Stopes for the kids in the know. Yeah, I never got around to reading 1984.
1984 is fantastic. So spoilers for classic sci-fi dystopian novel. In 1984, kind of every it focuses on the tale of the main character who I forget the name of. We're going to call him Joe now, who he is in charge of getting rid of old news that is bad for the government per se. So like if something talks about, oh, someone dying somewhere because of something happening, he's going to strike it off the list and it'll get corrected in like the next printing of the news or something like that. And this whole kind of world is geared towards changing your way of thinking to like love the government, love the Big Brother. They're kind of in charge. They're your caretakers. And you're supposed to like rat on all your friends if they're starting a resistance. There's a new thing called Newspeak, which is a new set of language in order to gear it towards more positivity, which you can't say negative things if about the government, stuff like that. It's a very dystopian like controlled environment world.
So I think, I think one thing that's interesting just jumping off of that is the name of it itself being called Big Brother. I think you can see sort of two different branches of like dystopian fiction where it's all the stuff that are like 1984, like Brave New World, like Animal Farm, things like that, where it's painting the dystopia, but within the world of the dystopia, they're doing a good job of trying to pass something off as a positive, calling the big surveillance apparatus Big Brother, because hey, who doesn't love their Big Brother? Comparing that to something more like V for Vendetta, struggling to think of other other examples, but it's more explicitly like, nope, this is purely a security tool. This is purely about like trying to prop up this maybe a legitimate government. So to you, do you think that the concept of Big Brother is the concept of Big Brother in your head just the like surveillance state that is used to prop up a government or prop up a system of some kind? Or is it the combination of that surveillance state and the idea of couching it in something that is in the end positive for a person?
That's a tough question. I always thought of it kind of mainly just the surveillance state. Just the the monitoringness, the psychological, I guess warfare isn't really the right word for it, but psychological manipulation of the public can certainly be a part of that. Of like, oh, we're doing this for your own good. We're, you know, like in also like The Giver, for example, of like we're taking your emotions for your own good, and this is all sort of trying to gear the population towards being happy, but in a very manipulative way. That's also kind of gaslighty. That is certainly a huge feature that can be a part of it. But I always thought of Big Brother exclusively as just the surveillance apparatus and the that part of it.
Okay. And yeah, I think that makes sense.
Yeah. So I guess, Whipple, what is your opinion of like surveillance state and Big Brother, and why do you think it is bad besides the obvious reasons?
I mean, there's a degree to which like, yeah, it's because of the obvious reasons that like being grown up in a society that nominally values liberty and all that fun stuff. I say nominally because like maybe spoiler for what our conversation is going to eventually lead to. But like, obviously, we also live in a world where the seeds at the very least of all of the like this reason that George Orwell decided to write some dystopian fiction and like take things that are happening now and bring them into the future, because he's like, oh, I see how the seeds of this are already sown in our modern culture. So putting all that aside, nominally, we value liberty. We value like people getting to make their own choices, people getting to have some degree of privacy, people getting to have some degree of free will. And there's that like instinctive bristling that comes along with having a system in place that like goes against that and tries to limit that and tries to put it into nice, neat little boxes of state or corporate control.
Yeah, sure. I'd say response to the obvious is it's inevitable. We right now have Google and Facebook and Amazon who are tracking all of our purchases, and slowly over time, as people start interlinking everything we own, from our phones to our computers to our thermostat to the Internet of Things being very prevalent in society, these things are going to happen. And I think we need to manage the outcome of it so that we don't end up like Big Brother 1984, but we still have to acknowledge that it is something that's going to happen.
Okay. There's a lot of different things in there, a lot of which I think is very interesting. I think one, there's a degree to which like it's going to happen inevitably isn't necessary. I don't find that a particularly convincing argument for like, do I want it to happen? Like, oh, it'll happen whether I want it to or not. So yes, I'm going to want it. Like there's, I guess I could sort of buy the nihilism of that, but like, I don't know. I bristle at that a little bit. I do appreciate though the second point that you had, or third point, I think it was, of if it's going to happen eventually, we should figure out some way to like make sure it's the best possible version of it. And I guess to that point, that's, I guess, something that I'm also fairly susceptible to, because like you mentioned the Internet of Things, you mentioned all these ways in which like different companies are able to hoover up more data by bringing more technologically advanced stuff into the house. Like I've got a bunch of Philips Hue lights, yeah, and I've got a Google Home that's like listening to me record this podcast right now. And I, you know, we have Gmail accounts and all of that. So I don't know, that is something that, I'm definitely susceptible to, of, for all of my not wanting there to be a big brother, I'm at least partially participatory in,
yeah,
it.
It's, I understand what you're saying, how it's not a good reason of like, oh, it's going to happen, so let's figure out how to manage it, isn't a reason to say I want it to happen.
Yeah.
But I guess the second step of that argument is the possible benefits of what can happen. So most of the naysayers, or most of the, I guess, I don't know how to phrase this, common folk is what I know whenever I talk to people about, like, Google or Amazon tracking everything we do. It's like, it doesn't really matter. Like, I like getting targeted ads. I like getting things that I want to buy, which, you know, that is something that is really useful, actually, like to be able to get buy things based off of, oh, this is something that I could want, or have content that's delivered to you based off of what you've previously watched or listened to. Spotify, for example, for me, 100%. Not 100%, like 90% of my Spotify library comes from like my Discovery Weekly playlist or new releases playlist, right? Where it just reads data from stuff that I've done before and then figures out what I could like.
Yeah, I'm in the exact same boat. That's part of the reason why I actually choose Spotify over other options. Give more to me. I'll give you more data if you'll give me more good music to listen to.
Yeah, which. I mean, you can imagine applying that to every other aspect of your life of like, okay, if I can put in to something my sleep schedule and I can have something monitoring when I'm asleep, when I'm awake, when I'm having fitful times of sleeping, then they can better help me be like, oh, because of this thing you're doing, you should be sleeping better if you do this thing, or maybe you should try waking up an hour earlier. You usually get more done in the morning, or you should try working out in the afternoon instead of the morning, because that is you get more intense time from that. So if you tracked every single thing about what you did in a day, you could find amazing optimizations and crazy cool, like just very simple, great things, you know?
But yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense to me. One thing that I'm curious your take on it, like a lot of the stuff that we've jumped into talking about, especially in the realm of like where things are beneficial to people, is bringing it into this consumer world, the Googles, the Amazons, et cetera, et cetera. Whereas looking at like 1984, Brave New World, they're talking about it a lot more, and most other dystopian fiction is talking about it more from a governmental world. The government is the one that is imposing a surveillance state and things that flow from it. What is your take on that, if there is a dichotomy? And if so, like, what makes one good and one bad?
I think if you look at the United States corporations over the past 40, 50 years or so, you'll see how much more powerful they have gotten in comparison to our government. And
interesting
that a natural succession is for them, if we keep going down certain dystopian pathways, is for them to become more government-like and to become more – like, for example, Google, aren't they considering building a city soon? Or
first I've heard of it, but it maybe wouldn't also surprise me. So
are they – I don't know if they're building a city or if they're building just apartment – probably just apartment complexes. But they're, I think in San Francisco, they're building apartment complex for some of their employees. And that alone is kind of its own start of a like small town, right? Like how many – if you start with one apartment complex and then if you grow to 10 over the like what, a quarter mile, that's like as much as a small town in, you know, the – Midwestern state of your choice, right?
But okay. I think I fully understand what you're trying to say. It's that like, it's not that there's a clear difference between when corporations do things that are Big Brother-like, it's fine. When governments do Big Brother things, it's that they're bad. It's that, like, from the inception of all of these dystopian things that we keep in our heads as like totems of dystopian fiction, they just didn't have companies like Google that would be able to do the cut. Like, it was the kind of thing you could only imagine a government doing, not the kind of thing you could imagine a corporation doing.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, yeah.
I do wonder if there's also, it's the kind of thing that could vary depending on like what is your outlook and what is your position and like what are the I don't know how to phrase it, but like the priors that you're starting from, where if you're the kind of person that instinctively like you could see someone with a worldview saying that like government is good, government having a lot of power is great, and so they would write like the happy story about the happy version of Brave New World, and then say, on the other hand, corporations are poisonous and toxic.
Player Games.
Yeah, Player Games, for instance. Corporations are poisonous and toxic. Let's do the Blade Runner future where giving corporations this power is bad. Yeah. And then vice versa, if you're someone that like is radically free market capitalist and distrustful of government, maybe you'd come at it from a different perspective.
Yeah.
Talk more a little bit about the Player Games. It seems like that's sort of the only one to explain to people who might not have read it what the Player of Games is. Two, that seems like one of the few examples that we've talked of in fiction of a sort of what could otherwise be a dystopian Big Brother-like system being a positive for people.
Yeah, so one of the, I guess, positive examples of Big Brother in science fiction is a series called the Culture Series. We only read one of the books from there in Topes and Stopes called Player of Games.
Yeah. I think I did get around to reading Consider Phlebas at some point.
Oh, was that good?
I think so, but it was also like 5 years ago. So
meh. Sure. Yeah. Anyway, the concept of the culture is that basically artificial intelligence kind of runs the societies in a way in like the grand macro scale. So, for example, there are new nations that they're trying to either – usually they're not trying to conquer. They're trying to like, oh, benevolently give new technology and to assimilate into their own culture and to, you know, help benefit them, which, you know, can be seen as colonization or can be as a good thing. But I think in the book it's supposed to be as a good thing. And then kind of on the micro level, people live their own lives. They don't really have any need for anything. They don't have any wants. They're immortal. They're genetically engineered to be perfect beings, but they don't really, I guess, run their lives. It's not really run their lives. That's not the word for it. Can you help me out?
I could if I remembered more details about how the culture – like I, yeah, I
sure.
What I remember about the culture is them sort of being the like – not a full like – hive. I remember the vibe of them being like, oh, they're seen as weird but also seen as like far more advanced, and yeah, maybe they, even though they don't fully jive with our, you know, simple human notions of liberty and the like and freedom, maybe they actually have it solved because it seems like they're happier than we are.
Yeah, they don't affect, they're not, the humans aren't like the leaders, for example, but there's not really anything that they could want to do more of, I guess, besides like conquering new nations, which is, you know, kind of a necessarily bad thing in some ways.
Yeah.
So they kind of have all their lives managed per se, and they have no need for anything. And it's this beautiful world, and it's like, oh hell yeah, I would love to live in there. But there's, you don't really know what, oh, would that be a satisfying life to have everything, you know, on a silver platter? Like, imagine being a dog to a human, right? Like, your life from their perspective is amazing, hopefully. They're like, they get all the food they want, they get all the scratches and all these amazing things. So now imagine if you were a dog for a highly intelligent artificial intelligence, but you're still really happy, right? Like, it's not that you're, you know, you get food and you get head scratches, you get like human equivalent of good things. You get to go do whatever you want, you know?
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And it's sort of getting at this idea that if we assume that the, like, there's a lot of great things that can come from having this overarching surveillance and control state, and that that's the price for getting these really good things. This sense of safety, this sense of security, this sense of like, you know, I think in the culture's case of like being post scarcity and being able to do whatever they want.
Yeah.
If the assumption is that we have to have this trade-off of like, you're trading off your liberty, you're trading off some of your freedom, you're trading off some of your privacy in order to get all these other great things, then in that case, the only conversation of like things that are questionable is there some innate thing in people that chafe at the idea of any sort of rulership or ownership, coming from like a Big Brother type system? And open question, I think there's a lot of literature that seems to say and suggest, obviously, of course, the human will can never be shackled. But then you also look at like real life history and like, yeah, totally. People yeah. are more than happy to go along with shitty things. Like I have to pay taxes. I have to go to work from 9 to 5. And I'm doing that because like, it's a, you know, it sucks, but it's a trade-off.
Yeah.
Same thing, like Philips Hue lights that might be reporting stuff back to Google or whatever. And I do it because I like to be able to turn on my lights with an app instead of a light switch. Like that's the level of trade-off I'm willing to make. So
yeah, it's the, what the security, there's always this like, oh, security versus liberty. I think it's more than that. I think it's starting yeah. to become more than that, at least, of like it's liberty versus so many other possible things. To tell Amazon that I want this new jacket, and find me more jackets that look like that, that's all I have to do versus them not knowing something more about me, you know, like not yeah. adding another dot on the list of identifiable things if Amazon decides to turn evil and send all their drones to go kill everyone.
I think that makes a lot of sense. The one thing that we haven't touched on so far is you know, we've talked a lot about like what happens if I'm giving up a little bit of my privacy, a little bit of my liberty to companies like Amazon and stuff like that in order to get some great consumer benefit or even a medium consumer benefit from them. That seems like a reasonable trade-off that I think there's some arguments to be made that a lot of lay people don't fully understand that's the trade-off they're making, that we're not, it's not as transparent as it should be.
Yeah.
And that's where things like GDPR and data regulations and stuff like that, while a blunt tool, there's promise in doing things like that to try and make sure that there's more transparency to users on like how their data is being used. But I think that skirts thinking about circumstances that are where it's much more of a clear negative that can come from circumstances. Thinking about like one of the things Amazon is using its machine learning prowess and abilities for, that it's able to get better at because it has all the money that it comes from other ways that it uses data, is to build facial recognition software. And one of the things they're using for facial recognition software is to go to like cops and to use to play yeah. into the overall shittiness and racial injustice of our criminal justice system, or selling artificial intelligence technologies to ICE and to things like that, that are like have more of an actual negative impact on specific underprivileged groups. And that's where things get a little thornier. One, obviously thornier for two white guys in their 20s to talk about and try and come to some like pronouncement of whether like, yes, I'm going to rule for people of color, whether or not Amazon is good for them. That's the whole thing. But two, also like for us, the downside of it is very like, I'm giving up some of my privacy. Maybe there's more ads that are going to be targeted at me. Maybe they're more effective. Maybe I have to worry about like someone, a criminal hoovering up data in a data breach or things like that. But like that's sort of the extent of the shittiness that we have to deal with. For other groups, it's more pronounced.
Yeah, it's definitely more like, I think, what is it? Saudi Arabia, they just came out with, I know it's either Google or Amazon that has an app that allows the men to track their wives. It's not just like a find my iPhone level thing.
Yeah.
I don't remember the specifics of it, but I remember there's a huge uproar about it.
And there's also a slightly different side of things. There's the there's a whole mini cottage industry of spyware that's used fairly often by like domestic abusers to be able to track their wives and girlfriends. And this is a slightly different circumstance in that it's not like, oh, here's a, you know, it's smaller, shittier companies that are like plugging into this privacy backbone that exists from like all the fact that we carry phones around in our pockets that are beaming location data up at every second. It's less like Apple is doing this and more like Apple is building the platform that allows shittier companies to be able to do this. But still, yeah, it's a
what? It's a Robert Oppenheimer, you know?
He's the bomb guy, right?
Yep. He made the one of the key scientists for making the nuclear bomb. And he at the end of it, he like regretted it doing it so much because he was very much very focused and like blind, had his blinders on. He's like, oh, I'm doing this for science and this is going to create unlimited energy. And personally, I believe nuclear power is amazing and should be the way to go. I know it has its issues, but I think that we should be putting a lot more energy into that. But that kind of
totally in agreement.
You're creating a tool. Oh, I'm just creating a tool. No, sorry. You're doing more than that. You cannot say you are completely innocent because just because you are only creating a tool. It's not that someone else will necessarily do it. That's not a good excuse anymore.
Yeah. And I think maybe that is more the real fear that I have of a Big Brother type scenario. I can obviously am willing to get over my own personal hangups in terms of like privacy stuff like that. Again, very pro like things like GDPR and stuff like that, and I think there should be more of them, and I'm happy that California is doing one of their own, and I think more states are going to start doing that, and cool, great, into it. But I'm obviously willing to make trade-offs for my own personal data in order to get consumer benefits from that, but I think the real concern then becomes that, like, hey, in a world where there's a Big Brother, like, it's not once it gets to the point where it's like an actively bad thing for me, then like it's been really bad for a lot of people, a lot more people before it got to the point where it's bad for me. And like, that's sort of the real concern.
Yeah. I guess, what do you think could be steps to combat it in our current day and age? Like what kind of regulations do you think should be out there that aren't?
I mean, I think the things like GDPR, I'm really interested, which I guess for any, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably may have seen something about this like a year or so ago. I'm assuming we have a moderately tech savvy audience, but just in case, Global Data Protection Regulation, I think is what it stands for. The big European data protection law that went into effect mid last year, which I know about because my company had to do a shit ton of work for that. And I was working on a couple of those projects. The idea behind it is like it puts into place a bunch of like consumer rights with regards to their data, of like they have the right to ask a company that processes their data, how are you using my data? What data do you have on me? Hey, you have to delete that data. Hey, you have to share that data back with me so that I can take it somewhere else if I want to. Things like that, which I think there's some issues with that, especially in regards to thinking about like how do you craft a data protection law that doesn't end up just reinforcing the power that like a Google and Amazon have in the world of like personal data, because they're the ones that can afford to spend a shit ton of money to Facebook to put in place all these data protection things, whereas like smaller people, it may push them out of the business. But I think that sort of stuff, maybe taking even further step back, what I've seen, and this is not necessarily specifically talking about like, disclaimer, I work for a tech company, but like this is not me talking about like my company in particular, not authorized to blah, 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 whatever. But my perspective, like seeing on the inside of the tech industry, is I think the two things that I think make a lot of sense to me is making sure that we're building in regulations that work to make it so that you can own, like, you can collect data for a purpose, and making sure that people are mindful and and like using it for useful and transparent purposes. I don't know how specifically you do that, but like getting away from the I'm going to suck up as much data as possible and figure out something to do with it later model that I think is very common across the tech industry, and moving more towards I have a thing I want to do. I'm going to go get the data for that and I have to be transparent to people when I'm collecting their data.
Yeah.
Again, how you do that and how you write a law to do that, I don't know. But like, I think that's the ultimate goal. And the other thing, a drum that I'll beat often enough is like tech people should know their humanities. Like tech people should have to read 1984. Tech people should probably take a philosophy class or two or an ethics class or two. They should, sit in English classes and like they should listen to podcasts like ours. Hey, plug, promo.
Promo on your own podcast.
If you were on the fence about listening to this podcast, we just convinced you to listen to this podcast 40 minutes into this podcast. But I don't know, things like that to like, again, getting to the point where it's not going to obviously curb abuses, because there are plenty of people that are going to like, you can read you can go to a philosophy class and come out of the philosophy class being like, huh, that's all interesting stuff. Now I'm going to go be evil. But
at least, at least, you know, you're being evil. Like,
at least you know you're being evil. So it won't solve everything, but I don't know. That's sort of my take on like focusing towards intentionality in how we use data in some way, shape, or form. What about you? Do you have any thoughts on how to not make Big Brother maximally shitty?
Thoughts on not how to make Big Brother not maximally shitty. I think first off, is just kind of more general of just like, no, never mind. I'm not going to say that. I was going to say like breaking up the companies.
Oh yeah. I'm also very pro that. I'm very pro breaking up the companies just because I'm very pro breaking up the companies.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, I'm not really sure how that relates to this specifically. Okay. So how would I fix Big Brother? One important thing I think for Big Brother is kind of just the culture surrounding it. So we kind of have a tacit, complicit acceptance of our data being slowly sold off to companies right now. So that is something that I think needs to change, of just like, we need more education about why this is bad. And that's definitely – yeah, our Big Brother is going to be corporate for sure. That I think is what we need to be most careful about, especially like culture in America towards businesses is very pro business, and it's very much like we're going to support every business we can, and it's like, oh, go and start your own business. That's the American dream, is to have your own business. That's what I want to do, is I want to be my own and charge myself and own my own business. And you know, that's a very American thing to do. So we don't like
club enterprises, we're gonna take over the world.
Yeah, exactly. We don't like to talk shit about businesses because, oh, they give you a job, they give you a paycheck, and
let's get synergy.
Yeah. I tried talking with my parents about like why Amazon is bad. They're like, oh, you hate Amazon so much. And then I started listing off, it's like, oh, they're bad to their warehouse workers, they're bad to their, you know, engineers, they displace communities, they do this, that, the other thing. And there's like, oh, but they give you jobs. It's like, yeah, because you fucking work for them. Like, corporations are taking over the world.
Yep.
Let's fight the power. Socialist America.
Hell yeah, bro.
Drops mic.
Boom. Yeah. Okay. So with all of that, getting back to the beginning, Alex Wade, do you want Big Brother to happen?
You know, talking about it more, I don't think I do, in the same sense that I thought I did. Like, I think the pathway to Big Brother is something that will eventually happen, but we need to fight it very hard and regulate it, because if we don't, then shit's going down.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty much in that same zone. Maybe a little more conscious of the ways that, like, I, while saying that I don't want Big Brother to happen, actively participate in it by buying stupid fucking internet lights. But yeah, I think I've been at that exact same ballpark.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, dude.
We agreed. Oh my God.
Hey, look at that. Look at that. And I won you over to my side for once.
That's crazy.
It's the other way around. if you want to win us over to your side, you can always get in touch with us via email at theawclub@gmail.com. That's theawclub@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter, also at theawclub, theawclub. I've started, I forgot to do this with any consistency, but every once in a while we'll remember that that Twitter account exists. And then I'm just like, I'm just going to tweet whatever I would have tweeted from my regular Twitter to this one instead. So you can check my tweets talking about how great A Star Is Born is and how it was robbed at the Oscars. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Google Podcasts. You can find us on Spotify. Hey, Spotify, do you want to buy a podcast? You seem to be doing a lot of that lately. We'd love to get a couple million bucks for this little thing. Oh, yeah. Spotify, what do? They bought Gimlet and they bought Anchor, which is a podcasting startup, for like $200 million for the both of them, I think, or maybe close to $300. Big deal.
Damn.
Big deal. Fun times. Is Spotify going to take over podcasting? Maybe. If they do, glad we're on. And is there any other end matter that we usually talk about other than you can also find us at theadub.club, theadub.club, which is also where you can find our topics guide. This is where you can see a little page that talks about all the stuff that we talked about, and if there's one thing that's particularly interesting to you, click through to that and you'll find the episodes where we talk about it. And I believe that finally is everything.
What is love? That's our next topic. Tune in next month. Or three.
Yep. We nailed it. Adub Club out. Do you want to rephrase that in a different way that you would have broadcast out to the public internet?
No, I do not. I just want to delete that whole sentence.
Cool. That's about right.
29 moves in good.
Let me take a second to recenter.